Podcast for everything tabletop. My name is Zach, and this week I'm joined by the regular crew. I'm joined by Mark, Logan, and Zoe. Mark, how are you today?
I am ready for action, reporting for duty. How are you doing, Logan?
I am ready for chaos. And that's what I get to deliver to you all. Yay.
I was expecting duty, so, you know.
No, I went to the restroom. Thank you. Zoe, how are you doing?
There's a war going on? Zach, how are you doing?
Got a touch of the crazies, but you know, I'm trying to hang on here. There's a lot happening. I'm sitting around watching like The Breakfast Club over here, all alone, just watching you guys live your lives. Well, I'm over here dealing with my own personal shit in more than one way.
Well, you're busy saving the city from the ATC. We're having coffee and discussing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's also fair. Saving myself from potential mental trauma.
Yeah.
Dealing with some certain special magical entity.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's all fine. We're all fine here now.
With all those crazies aside, we're going to play some more 7th C today. Logan's running us through this story that seems to be never ending, but I'm all for it because I don't have to run it. So, Logan, how you feeling?
There's supposed to be ends to stories? Shit. I messed it up.
Oh,
No. There's no end to this story. You can keep going as long as you want to.
Oh, boy. Careful what you ask for.
We don't have to run it for a while, so we get to kind of sit back and just play.
I mean, I do like being on this side of things. It's better for my brain. Much simpler.
That's fair.
It's fun being evil.
I mean, it's not even just the evil. It's just like there's so many things going on, and it's like, cool. I'm tired of being this person. Let's be somebody else.
True.
Fair.
Just pop around. So,
little recap, Logan.
Sure. Sure. Again, I will open this up to everybody else as they want to say anything. But first up, just for the main key points, we had more juicy Andreas Alecto, you know, conflict with the no, I won't join your ship. Okay, I guess I'll join your ship. Crap. we also had a whole, you know, string of sneaky Assassin's Creed moments with Briggs kind of checking out the city, learning about more movements of the ATC in Tyrion. And then escaping from potential harm, only to start a legend of his own, the Flying Man of Tyrion. Maybe we'll have a little, you know, special side episode of the Flying Man of Tyrion, and we'll learn the legend officially told and written. Who knows? We'll see. And then everybody was called to a war council for the king of Tyrion, and called in for... Well, I mean, specifically Andreas was called in, but it just happened to bring everybody else along. It's great.
Yeah.
So, with that, we fade in on the mayor's manor, the mayor's estate in the middle of Tyrion, has become the go-to home for the king because his home got burnt down. Before, it looked official, and there was movements happening. Now, it looks like almost like a fortress with the amount of guards. There are tents being set up on the outside for more of the staff and generals that are coming in, and our heroes are escorted in. We see both sets coming in, kind of from different roads. We see the trio of Andreas, Raza, and Alecto being escorted by four guards. Andreas is on his horse, Alecto and Raza are on another, and the guards are on horses of their own. And then there is the four guards that were at the docks that are walking in with Briggs. and they all kind of meet on the outside perimeter of what is the expanded area that the king's domicile is taking up. I'm just going to leave it right there. Unless you guys have anything else we need to be reminded of from last session?
Don't think so.
I think we're good.
All right.
So yeah, we follow the guards, follow the instructions.
Okay. Anybody surprised about seeing Briggs being escorted here by himself?
I probably figure they probably went to the if they were looking for me, they probably went to the ship and
sure.
I could understand, but okay. Give him a little nod of greeting and kind of a welcome to the party gesture.
Okay.
And Logan, Briggs is never alone.
Yep.
Briggs is never alone. Oh, no. I hate that.
No. Oh. I mean, Briggs is never alone. In that way, yes, but Briggs is also never alone, as we see a cute little blue-eyed monkey scurry from one shoulder to the other and make squeaky noises, holding onto a piece of papaya.
Nice.
Now, Ori, you better behave yourself. This is, this isn't like, we're not at the tavern, it's not like relaxed, this is kind of serious.
And he just kind of like spits some food out on your shoulder and then continues to eat stuff.
Manners. Pick up after yourself.
And who does he like, aside from you, on the ship the best?
Is it?
That's a great question.
Is it Epos?
Question is, does Epos like
it on the ship yet?
I'm sensing a mutiny coming. Huh?
No, they get their own spin-off fights. Episode. It's fine.
Yes.
Oh, Zoe, we're going to do it.
Well, yes.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Let's go. Nice.
I would say that Ori is probably most familiar with the Master of Tops.
Okay, cool.
Her name is Masa.
Okay, I'm going to say that...
Ori being the climbing nature animal that she is. That makes sense.
Ori, chews up something and spits it on your shoulder and then jumps from your shoulder up a pole where a flag is flying and kind of scurries up and like just hangs onto the pole / the flag and is looking back, and it just strikes you the position that Ori is in reminds you of something that his best other friend makes, that same sort of pose.
I will leave you here.
He seems to not care.
We're going. Okay, fine.
And then he jumps on your shoulder.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep. Okay, so we walk inside the mayor's house, and we can see there's, of course, a scurry of activity, wait staff and soldiers and people doing this and that. A large table in the main it was like a foyer, but it's kind of become like the main meeting room. And there are maps rolled out, and there are little, wood blocks with flags on them being shoved around, and, just the war room sort of feel as there are generals talking about stuff and debating about where movements are happening. And we get a glance down again, another aerial view of Numa, where we can see all the different islands laid out, and we can see around it is where we see different ships. The ships themselves represent multiple ships, but you gather from the general discussion that there is a conflict in the Widow's Sea, right on the edge before they actually hit the Numenari approach, between Avalonian and Montane ships. There is a contingent of Castian ships that seems to be mounting up from San Felipe. There are Vodace ships that are on their way from Benuli, heading to Kusai or Paestan, something like that. One of those two, those northern islands. We can see Kometi ships are sailing directly towards Ephira, or maybe towards that Magna Numara Islands area, a place where a lot of the conflicts of Numa have been. And then passing south of Abib in Sarmian, we see multiple ships from the Crescent Empire. Right now, it looks like it's a toss-up between Kemet, Crescent Empire, and Vodace, who has the most ships that are about to impact. There's also a ship that is placed on the map next to Lake Diamond, which doesn't have a flag on it. It is a black block, and it is unnamed, unlisted. But you can see that is, occupying. What questions do you have? What do you want to do?
Well, what forces do we have? What What forces does Numa have at its disposal?
Oh, good question. Yeah, yeah. So you see boats basically at all of the major places aside from Loch Diamond. So there is one ship. I'm gonna say actually Kumaira does not have any ship at it. So you've got Kusai, Tirion, Nakarpados, Nikiamara, Adamadaron, Afira, and Tyrans.
Okay. And Lake Daimon is the only one that actually has current occupation, correct?
Occupation, correct. Yes.
Okay. Everything else is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Have our aggressors made any demands? Is there any indication of specifically what they're after?
The king looks up from what's there and he greets you. Oh, I'm so glad you could make it. Thank you, Andreas. And
thank you for having us.
One of the other generals, you know, pops off, filling you in, basically saying, no demands as yet, but what we see, if we're not mistaken, there are multiple navies moving on us all at the same time. There is a fear that this is going to be the meeting ground of many armies.
Mm-hmm.
No one's talking to us yet.
I see. Well, if they are after occupation, of course, they're going to be competing with each other as well.
We thought that as well. Do you have a plan? Do you have an idea?
It would be nice to be able to set them off against each other. But we would need to know what their objective is.
And I have said as much myself. And some other pipsqueak of a general type person, like, basically interrupts, cuts you off, and is pointing directly at the conflict that is laid out on ships between the Avalonian and the Montane Navy.
What is the nationality of the ship at Lake Daimon?
It's unmarked.
Unmarked, okay. But there have been reports of aggression there, or just...
They know that the ship has been... That there are occupants in Loch Diamond.
Okay.
That's about it. So basically, in a holistic side of things, here is a mess. We see conflicts coming. Who do you want to try and address first? Do you want to try and deal with Lake Diamond? Do you want to try and deal with all your disparate ships and bring them together somewhere for Numa? Do you want to try and go get, you know, like a little spying on companies that are coming in? Do you want to, you know, see more about one of the conflicts in particular?
The closest situation is Lake Daimon. And we have somebody there that hopefully we can get some answers from. So I'm thinking we start with a launch in that direction. Send a couple of ships there to catch that up. Any other spying we can do? Do we currently have any spies out there?
We have not put as much effort into the spying recently.
I understand. You said one of the fleets was Kemet as well, correct?
Yep.
Okay. We have encountered a situation with Kemet, an encounter indicating that someone is within the city from that faction at least.
There is a shock silence. And then the king breaks it by saying, How do you know this? What have you seen?
I'll explain the story with the snake statue and the suggestion that that was issued as a warning. Someone placed this warning aboard my ship. If someone from Kemet is here, it may stand to reason that some occupants of the other armadas may also be already infiltrating our cities.
There's a significant glance between the king and his, like, most trusted attendant. Not one of the generals, so it's like his majordomo, so to speak. You know, master of his house.
Hmm.
And that guy speaks up. There has been one as well. Here. 3 nights ago.
Oh?
It is a statue. But it was painted most lifelike.
Hmm.
You say this is a threat?
That is my understanding of doing the research, is something that the Kemet place as a threat.
Hmm.
But it hasn't been very clear on what exactly they're trying to discourage. The statue didn't speak, probably fortunately. Which means we still don't have much to answer for. But could we find somebody who would have access to both your residence and my ship?
I don't believe I have anybody in my employ that works for you as well. The workers I sent your way are separate from my household. I don't know. I would say there's probably some sort of spy around. I think we need to keep eyes out at night.
Yes, I agree.
You have brought your own entourage with you. Not just yourself. Can I ask why?
For situations like this, we need as many opinions as possible.
Yet, opinions can mire the situation down.
They can. I agree. But no situation can be seen best from a single angle. Looking with multiple angles is the best way to get a full-rounded image of what you're observing. So, turn to the others. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions?
I think the fact that you are all looking for these specific people who are well-versed in the art of spying is, frankly, a waste of time. You have many eyes at your disposal. All you have to do is just bribe them. You say that these ships are docked in Lacedaemon, yes?
That is correct. Yes. We've heard there is occupation in Lacedaemon.
And is Lacedaemon not a ripe port for fishing?
As you say.
So why not go to each and every fishing vessel and ask for their help in exchange for a meager amount of coin or perhaps whatever it is that they desire, and you have all the spies that you need, every dockhand, every able seaman, every merchant, every fishmonger, all of them. They can be your eyes and ears, and they can tell you everything that they need to know.
There's a pained look across the king's face, and he responds immediately, saying, "We've fought off many other invasions before, but we've never had to use the populace. We always protect them."
I understand that you want to protect them, my king. However, they are strong enough to rise up on their own, and I am not speaking of attacking them with a full frontal force. There is sabotage, guerrilla tactics. There are many ways to sink a ship in harbor, and many accidents that can happen to one while it is there.
Besides that, our main goal at this point is information.
There are many people looking for steady work. Mm. All they need is their palms, maybe coated in gold before they ask for that work. Do you understand what I'm getting at here?
I think I follow, yes. And the king kind of nods towards his majordomo, and that person slips back away, as if to go do a thing. What other insights do we have from...
In the corner of the room, Briggs is just leaning up against the wall, just listening.
Okay.
When there's like a small silence, he'll say, "What's your relationship with the Atopian Trading Company?"
Numa has no exact relationship with the Atopian Trading Company. What do you ask?
I have seen a fair amount of ATC traffic coming through here in the last few weeks.
Yes, they use a ship from time to time. They use a dock. They have ships coming through, just using us as a place to restock.
Are you also aware that they bring along unmarked vessels with them as well?
Another pained look goes across his face. Not exactly. How many of these ships have you seen?
Marked one.
And unmarked?
Another one. Correction to two marked. One was here, left, and I believe another has replaced its spot at the docks.
So it seems that there are more and more that are invading our areas when we don't even know it. Vestin also have an interest.
Is anyone here familiar with with why a ship may be sitting much lower than normal in the water.
One of the other generals pops off with, well, I mean, if it's heavily weighed, depending on what it's shipping in, you know, I've also seen that with slave ships. Arms and slaves are the top two that come to my mind.
I'm just saying there's a particular unmarked ship on the docks weighing very heavy right now.
Okay. I think we need to get our city secure first. And then from there we can work out. Would you be willing to help with that, sir? Direct us to the ship?
Me?
You found it?
Sure. Of course.
All right.
Oh, do you want to do that now?
Do you see a better angle when we are currently not even sure who has control of our city? I thought I did, but if there are this many threats and other ships are moving in and out without our control, that means we might already be invaded.
It may also be that whatever aboard this ship may be the true goal of those that are approaching. As I said, we need information. Part of that information is to find out what is aboard that ship.
Right, you're coming with, Captain.
I am.
Better time than any. Don't want to waste any more time.
Okay.
All right, we'll get with that. Meet back here evening time. We'll have food ready, and we need a report.
Very good. I'm going to take a few steps and stop and look at Electo. Say, here's an opportunity to do some good work.
As if I haven't been doing good work this entire time, Andreas.
Of course you have. But now with us. Join us. Help us.
Oh, I suppose I can show you up one more time.
I will look forward Captain. To it. No, it's Raza just feels a little uncomfortable in the moment.
That's Raza is like, yeah, that was a good one, Electo. I mean, Captain. fuck. Electo, how could you say something so controversial yet so true?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I love it.
So, yeah.
All right. So you guys head out from there, and there are guards with you if you want them. There are other officials, you know, let's say it's like his captain of his guard for the king is with you and just basically says, what resources do you need? Let us know, and we can move on this. Or you want to check the ship first?
Yes, Mr. Briggs, I'm thinking a stealthy infiltration might be appropriate here. Any thoughts? Any suggestions?
When is that not the right time to do that?
Right, so only 10 extra soldiers then, yes?
Electo's coming with you guys, right? Is that the
plan? Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So Electo's like, all right, listen, you don't have to get so worked up. 5 will be fine, and for the love of the gods, take off the uniforms.
Yeah, help us
be dressed as normal sailors.
Right, normal sailors. Right, good call, yes. And he goes about getting some people together. 10 minutes later, as you guys discuss plans, you see these guys show up with, like, you know, sailor clothes that are a little too tucked in and, you know, spick and span.
Electo just walks over and starts untucking belts and ruffling hair and taking some dirt off of her boots and, like, smearing it on their faces. Like, you look too proper, too prim. Slouch a little bit more. She's, like, mothering them.
Okay, so you basically have a brute squad of soldiers that you can use for your own disposal. Mm-hmm. What are we doing now? How are we going about this? This is definitely a risk of setting off more than you want to set off, of getting caught, of not being able to get any information. There's risks involved with this for sure.
Well, what I'm thinking is Andreas should probably work as a distraction to allow Briggs to do the sneaky thing.
And just to be that, you know, loudness with you, I think Also because, you know, I'm running the game, not playing it. Raza will be in help for you to...
Perfect. Perfect. So, yeah, I'm thinking of coming on the ship and using my panache sailing to kind of come at it with the story of we have to do this inspection thing, but I don't really want to. I'd rather just, you know, swap some stories and, you know, let's make it, you know, make a show of it so they don't get too defensive.
Sure.
But just, you know, get them animated, you know, kind of be somebody they have to deal with, but not somebody they have to...
Heavy amounts of schmooze and a bit of a pain in the ass.
Definite schmooze, kind of pain in the ass, but kind of, but not enough of pain in the ass that they get too aggressive, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Just pain in the ass, not full on aggressive.
Okay.
Just the right amount of a pain in the ass.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Just an appropriate amount.
Yes. And hopefully doing that will be a bonus to Briggs, who I will spend my hero point on.
Many thanks.
Sure.
Okay. So how many people are you bringing with you? You're using the Brute Squad to help maybe emphasize your inspection as like an inspection team?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so we've got all of us on that kind of like barge onto that ship, walking up on it. Hey, we need to do an inspection.
Yeah.
You're greeted basically as you're coming off of the gangplank onto their ship.
Sure.
Acting like an official.
Hello. Hello. Good to see you. Hi.
What is the meaning of this? We have already gone through our inspection.
I know. Legal experts, lawyers. Ugh, lawyers, don't you hate lawyers? They're the bane of our existence. I used to be a captain myself, and I understand completely.
Quite right. We are just here doing a business.
I know. And you should be doing. Like you say, you've had your inspection. You've done everything you need to do.
Here, we will pull out our papers. You can see they are quite in order.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. This is a very nice ship. Very nice ship. Have you had it very long?
I have been the captain of the ship for quite some time.
You are the captain. Ah, pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to meet you. Yes, this...
Captain Joseph is my name. Oh. What is your name, sir?
My name is... Damn it, where's my name generator? Nikos, pleasure to meet you.
The pleasure is all yours, I am sure.
Yeah.
This is most frustrating.
Are these lentine sails that you have?
Aye, that they are.
Yeah, very impressive, very impressive.
You have to explain to me as to why you get to inspect my ship again, since this has already happened.
Forget that. It's, you know, you showed me the paperwork. We'll pretend. You did your duty. I'm stuck doing mine. I'm sorry. You must do very well when heading into the wind. You could probably get a few extra degrees to windward with this rig.
Ooh.
Wouldn't you?
Trying to appeal to him. Okay, good.
Oh,
trying to make him feel like his ride is fast.
Exactly right, yeah. So, using the sailing knowledge to
I assume Briggs is trying to slip away at this time, because there's a whole lot of distraction happening and a whole lot of focus on the captain. I would say
1,000%.
That, you know, Raza isn't playing, but he is in this, so he's helping, so you get a die from him for whatever schmooze you're trying to do. What is Electo doing in this situation?
That's a good damn question. Let's see. I think she's actually gathering intel. Like, she's actually doing what she suggested at the War Council. She's at the fishmonger stands. She's at these smaller little boats that have been docked at this port for years and years and years, and just appealing to their, you know, national pastime of, like, tell me the story of this ship and who's been coming across and what they've been doing, kind of deal. Okay. And did you happen to notice anything odd? Like, I don't know, maybe at the water line it looks like there's a hole or something. I don't know. Like, really just trying to get the lay of how long the ship has been in port, what kind of cargo it's been hauling or taking, and just get a general idea of what exactly the ship is from the people who see it on the daily.
All right, let's roll some stuff.
Okay.
Get some. I'm kind of treating this like more a dramatic sequence.
I like
which
that.
Which has a chance to completely blow into an action scene. We'll see.
Action sequence? Yeah, who knows?
Okay.
I think Briggs was going to go for finesse theft, probably.
Okay.
Finesse in the way of, I think he wants to do some climbing on the exterior of the ship that he's trying to get into or find out more information about.
More about the clandestine getting into parts of the ship that aren't easy access, picking locks and yeah. sliding past doors and stuff. Okay.
Exactly. And I get 3 from Andreas as well.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going panache sailing because, you know, big boisterous. Attitude.
And you're on a ship, but, and you can talk ships, so you get all those yep. extra bonuses from, you know, ship things that you shippingly do.
Yeah, actually, that's right.
I apologize. There's a kitten in my lap, and she's very cuddly, and Zach, you might have to edit out her purrs.
No, we don't edit those out.
They or will not. Stay in.
Actually, Ocean's favorite looks like it only benefits me if I'm on my ship.
Oh, it's your ship? Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
So. Oh, but sea legs allows you to do it while aboard a ship at sea. Does that mean, like, while you're out in going?
I mean, or yeah, it's not at like, port if you're out at sea. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Though, sea legs is all about balance, basically, and stuff, so I think,
yeah,
you know, if there's a situation that makes sense for that, then sure.
I mean, are you doing a physical risk on a boat?
That's a great way to think of it, too.
That's true.
That's fair. I did say I was climbing.
Yeah, then I personally would accept sea legs.
Sure.
Sorry to.
No, that's. I mean, that's a like, community thing. You know, it's like, okay, what do you think about this? Does this work? You know, cool. Okay, great. No, that seems a little silly. All right, great. You know. That's how I think of it, at least.
Okay, so flair and first time.
Yep.
All of that's good stuff too.
And an extra one from Raza for you, Captain.
For me? Oh, yep. Okay.
Because you know, great. He's helping out.
Perfect.
So many dice. So many dice.
Oh god, I didn't state what my approach and shit were. Sorry, the kitten is very distracting.
That's okay, I was distracted too. I kind of thought that you had, but you're right, you haven't said it exactly.
I have not said it.
Convince, empathy?
I'm not tempt. I'm not... super tempting. In fact, I have 0 ranks in tempt.
Fair enough.
Probably, I could be really intimidating, but I'm trying to appeal to the people, and while I'm not being super empathetic, I am trying to convince them to, like, hey, you know, the sooner that you tell me about this big-ass, stupid ship that's in your way of your little dock that you dock at every day, the sooner it can leave, so if you just tell me what I need to know, we can go.
Another way to think about it, for me at least, is when you think of a convince, it's like I'm trying to use logic, I'm trying to reason with someone, as opposed to I'm trying to, like, sympathize with them, which would be empathy, or I'm trying to, like, force my will on them, which would be intimidate, or that attempt is like, hey, I can give you something that you want. I can pay you, you know.
Right. I think convince for it. So that's 2 dice there. And then, I want to make an argument for finesse. And I know what you're going to say. You're like, no, finesse is all being acrobatics and all that stuff. But there's a certain kind of, social finesse that you gotta have in situations like this. Like, you can't insult the fishmonger while you're talking to this guy over here who's his rival. There's like a certain dexterity that you have to have in order to convince some of these people to let you in on, like, a dockside secret or something? Because these people live their lives, and their livelihood is at the dockside, so...
Yeah, you're right. I do think of finesse as being physical, and, you know, any of that sort of social repartee would be covered in wits or panache in some fashion. But I think if you are kind of almost trying to relate to them on their level, being that part of the people sort of thing, you sit down with this sailor and help him work on his net, and you help this person carry some stuff, and you know, you're kind of just using your own body as well as listening to them and adjusting what you say and what you ask about based on who they are. Kind of playing that dance together, but being one of the people as opposed to an outsider that's, you know, asking questions.
Like literally getting behind their stall and helping them work as
getting
I'm talking to them.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I like it.
And then, and then two for
I'm
flare,
convinced.
Yeah?
Two for, yeah. The flare and first time and all that. Yep.
Yeah, Epos is gonna help me.
That's what he do.
It's what he do.
He can carry stuff.
He can carry stuff. He can also eat things.
He's very good at
eating
things.
He's very good at eating things.
He's also just a super gorgeous animal. Like, people will be like, ooh, look at his pretty coat.
Right.
Would you give me eagle eyes for noticing things?
Interesting. Eagle eyes for noticing things. I mean, it is a threat dealing with eyes, you know, if you're noticing moments, but you're trying to convince people. That's more the point of what you're trying to do here. Let's see what look like. As long as you have a clear line of sight, you can see perfectly out to a distance of 1 mile. You can use spyglass.
Heavily relies
on your keen vision. It doesn't really heavily rely on your vision. I think that'd be a different risk, or you could apply like a, you know, a reduction. Like if you were to do a to use a raise that's outside of your purview, I would say Eagle Eyes would allow you to instead of having to pay two raises to notice an item, because you have Eagle Eyes, you just have to pay one raise to notice an item, even though your focus is convince. So it's like a reduction.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
A compromise, some might say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with compromises. Yeah.
Because like it's instead of it being like, you know, it's outside your purview, sorry, you got to spend two to notice a detail here or whatever, it's like, well, I just notice things anyway, so you still have to spend a raise for it, but it doesn't cost you as much as it would somebody else.
It doesn't cost the extra.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
I got...
That's it, and I'm going to roll.
And I'm going to give you an extra die for an unknown reason to
Electo.
For an unknown reason.
Oh, I don't like that. I'll take it, though.
I'll take it.
Thanks.
And we forgot to apply the Brood Squad since they're helping out with Andrea, so I think you would have the help of the Brood Squad as well. I'm not sure how that would work out for Andreas. Yeah. But yes, go ahead, Zach. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
I had six with one extra.
Ooh, I'll buy it.
Yeah. I had four with one extra.
I will also buy it.
Okay.
Oh, not my best dice pool, guys.
That's okay.
Oh, didn't you make those dice? Come on now. Yeah, tell them.
I didn't make these dice. I listen, all right? I can't tell them how to roll.
That's true.
The dice are fine. It's just the numbers that are bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that how that works? Okay.
It looks like I have, any way I slice it, it is five raises and one remainder.
And I'll buy that one.
Yay, I get a hero point.
Okay, so with six, I think that is a Briggs. Starting off, we hear this bolsterous, you know, blathering back and forth between the capitán and this other captain here on the ship, this ATC operative. You slink away up first? Are you going up the rigging? Is that what you said first? You're climbing?
I was more of thinking like climbing on the exterior of the hull.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Around kind of lower so as to not attract more attention.
You could slip under the dock to get at it below.
Yeah, I was thinking either jumping in the water and swimming or, or instead of climbing directly on this ship, go to the ship that it's next to, climb around that ship and jump over kind of situation.
Okay. So as a dramatic scene, you can use raises to establish facts and change kind of what's happening and give us details. So the one thing I'm going to say first that you notice when you get to the main ship here is that most of the cannon holes are locked down tight. And the portholes look closed. You're not sure if they're locked yet. So
okay.
You can spend a raise to adjust a detail.
Okay. Actually, I don't know if I can jump in here. I have team player.
Okay.
Which means I can spend a raise to create an opportunity and spend a raise to activate that opportunity on behalf of another hero. Could I convince them that it's really hot and they should open up the doors a little bit and get some airflow? And, you know, it's a Newman's secret to get some, when you're in port here, just, you know, open a few panels and get some airflow. It helps so much.
Having, visited actual Greece during the heat wave, this is very true. Move the air, please, yes. For the love of God.
Yes.
Yeah, so your advantage says that you create that advantage, and yep. They were resistant to wanting you to inspect anything, and so you going down below decks is not really.
I'm not going to go below. I'm just convincing them to do it.
I think we see that this Captain Yosef that I've already established here is sweating like the stuck pig he looks like, and. His slightly portly, you know, set, you can see it sweating through on the armpits and, you know, under his cap. And he's not even wearing, like, a nice fancy cap. He's, like, wearing a do-rag. His skin is very red for how pasty white he is. He is easy to convince because he is overheating as it is. And some of the crew start moving around to open some things here and there. It takes a minute, but yeah, we could say that
happens. Great. Good.
And I guess, true, also. It's not, I'm just going in order of who has the most raises because that's normal, but that's actually not how dramatic scenes are supposed to go. You just kind of do. So, that totally makes sense. You can jump in there right now.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. So that burns two of my raises.
Okay.
At that point, the doors or the windows are probably opening.
You see portholes opening.
Mm-hmm.
So more of the, like, what would be cabin areas, you know, on the lower levels, as opposed to the imagining the flaps that open up when you shoot cannons.
After a few moments go by after they open, he might take a peek in and get a look inside.
The first window you look in seems to be somebody's room, but it seems to be stacked full of crates, and the hammock that was hanging there is shoved over to the side, and you can see there's somebody's personal, like, sea chest, but it also has, like, boxes stacked on it, and there's just, like, one single walkway in the middle of that area. So many crates. You can't see what's in them. They're not really labeled or anything. No. You could get inside, though, and you could try and open one.
You know what? Yeah. I'm gonna, if there's an opportunity, I don't hear any footsteps nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll hop in through this porthole and wait for a second, just in case, you know, somebody maybe heard a bump or a footstep or something.
Sure. You're waiting outside. And you don't hear anybody. So you pull yourself in. You land quiet. You still don't hear anybody. Ship rocks a little bit. You get a little shiver up the back of your spine as you think you start hearing spooky spookies trying to speak into your ear, and you go about your business.
I'll shake it off a little bit, and yeah, I would just want to observe what the contents of this room. Just crates, take a look at the boxes, see if there are any important markings or anything like that on the boxes.
They seem to be unmarked. They're just crates.
I am going to spend one of my raises to... I can spend more if I need to, but quietly go to open one of these crates.
Okay. It takes you a little bit of time, but you pry one open, and you see there's a bunch of straw inside covering over what looks to be...
What looks to be what? Say that one more time.
What looks to be basically... How would I describe this? Because that doesn't work for now.
looks to be...
Yeah.
You guys didn't hear anything either, right? You guys didn't hear anything either.
Yeah. No.
It went flat, but it's great because, like, in the HBO series, it's like we see Briggs, like, you know, moving the straw away, and then all we see is their reaction to what they see, and then the cutaway happens.
Yeah, it goes back out to Andreas at the front.
That's great.
Nice. Across.
Yeah, so your eyes kind of light up, and there's a shock look on your face, and we pan over. Whoever wants to take an extra.
I would like to spend a raise here and say that while Alecto is with the fishmonger, kind of gutting and cleaning fish as he's just going on and on and on about how this stupid ship is in his way and he can't view the ocean while he's working because he has to look at all these people, and he even motions. He's like, look, they're opening up the portholes. Now I get to see their ugly faces. Like, in his rambling, he kind of lets slip that they all seem to pretend they're from some nation, specifically like Vestin, but they're very clearly not. They're accent might be, it's a little bit too overplayed, like they're trying too hard. Clearly their skin and their eye color and their hair reveal that they're from somewhere else, because if they were from Vestin, the heat and the humidity and the sun here would have just killed them. We would have cooked them like lobsters by now. And so just kind of really surfacting the fact that these people are not who they say they are.
Interesting. So he believes that they are some sort of, you know, usurpers and are false facing.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he can see through it clear as day.
Of course, because he knows how people are. You know, when you've been on the sea as long as he has, you know, he can tell the difference between, you know, a Sarmian and an Asherian, you know, just by how they walk. Yeah. It's so easy.
I've been on these docks since I was 12 years old, and let me tell you.
Right?
Yes,
I've been catching fish before I could walk.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Perfect. Okay. Andreas.
Yes.
Created this opportunity of silly stuff, but what other things are going on with yours?
The other thing I wanted to probably spend a raise on is I want to show them how to rig their sails, use their sails to kind of run across their ship to create like an awning as protection from the sun, by tying it off here and over the mast or over the beam. You can create an awning and help protect the sun. I'm gonna try and encourage him to get as many of his crew up on deck so I can show them how to do this, and it will help them immensely when they're docked in Numa.
Do you mean to tell me how to do the things on my ship?
You don't have to, but I'm telling you, this is a great technique for those of us that have been here and have to deal with the Numan sun. It is impressive. I just wanted to give you an opportunity. It helps. I can't tell you how much it helps. Just beautiful. Trying to help. I'm trying to, you know.
All right. Hey. So we're trying to get more people up onto the deck. And he pulls up a few more, but if that's his whole crew, he has like 10 people to run the whole ship.
Yeah.
So they're either out, you know, not here, they're out, you know, in port enjoying themselves, or this is a very different size of ship.
Interesting.
Crew size. So
okay. With my last raise then, I want to and I might be able to try and draw this out from some conversation as well, get some ideas of what this style of boat, this cut of boat, where it would be traveling, what it would be doing. Any information I can get about its function from its form.
That okay. makes sense. I mean, it looks like a shipping boat. It is a Vestan design, you know, but you don't see too many people that look Vestan on here, since we have now established that this is maybe potentially a cover for something else.
Okay.
As we know, the ATC started from Vestman Yavanyar, and it is connected to Vestan merchants, though not directly, you know, the purview of one particular merchant. It is just part of that I would say company of.
Okay.
So they have a lot of support from Vestman Yavanyar, and this captain himself is very pale and looks like he could be that type, but has Andreas been that far north? Has he talked with any of the Vestan or the Vendel?
Probably not, no.
Interesting. So,
okay. All right. Some ideas.
Yeah. So shipping seems to be his main thing. It has
cargo, you know, cargo shipping.
Right? Yeah. It has, as you saw when you walked up, the different cannon holes. So it does have a way to protect itself. I'm going to say that you notice that it has probably more than it should. As far as
interesting,
yeah.
So more cannon ports, but less crew.
Yeah,
I would expect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Scan back down below decks, and I was going to say something like you found dynamite, but dynamite is well ahead in, you know, development of time. You find explosive devices that, you know, the first open use of black powder in European fighting wasn't cannons, and it wasn't guns. It was hand grenades, basically metal cast bombs that have a bunch of black powder in them. And you find basically your crate is filled with a bunch of little hand grenade things that have, you know, fuses aren't stuck in them right now, but there is a wrapped oil parchment of to keep the, you know, any moisture off of a bunch of cannon fuse that are cut in, you know, short strips that you think are maybe 10-second countdowns. And this crate is filled with these metal orbs.
How heavy are each of these?
Oh, 2 pounds. So
can I take
heavy?
2?
Yeah. It's just awkward and rough.
Yeah. He'll probably grab some rope.
Sure.
Off of his, he probably keeps some rope on his belt, and he'll probably makeshift a little sling for him, or tie him around and just tie him to his belt.
Okay.
Underneath his cloak there.
Okay.
I want to, you know, probably hearing more of the people that were down here going upstairs.
Yeah, there's a couple more that are going upstairs.
I'll probably see if I can take a look outside of this room that I'm in, and kind of further explore the underneath of the ship here.
Okay. For your own, you know, edification, a quart of water, a pineapple, those are things that are, you know, about 2 pounds. So if you think about, you know, a small pineapple, a very dense pineapple, maybe, you know, the feeling of like a football or something like that, or a package of butter, you know, 4 sticks, that's about a pound.
Yeah.
So if you have 2 of those together, that sort of weight in a small iron thing, it's going to be more encumbering than heavy, as in it's more awkward because it is such a heavy thing.
Right. But, yeah, I'll do the best I can to maneuver with him.
And so you head out from this room to go try and check out what else is in this lower area?
Yeah, I'll just take a quick look. Not to get too far, because I'll want to find a way out if need be.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'll just take a little look around.
Out of this room, into the main area of this deck, are more and more crates and more boxes. Only broken up by the paths that are there, and that there is a cannon behind every one of these cannon ports. The cannons themselves are unique in that it seems to be 2 cannons stacked together, but cast together as if they would be fused bottom to top. Mm. Like if you're looking down the barrel, it would be like an 8.
Why the fuck? Are you telling me they're double barrel cannons?
Right.
Why does a merchant ship, quote unquote, need double barrel cannons?
Double barrel cannons. That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Big yikes.
At this point, I want to cause a little bit of chaos. Okay.
Oh boy.
Not that much. I want to try and take some of their gunpowder rations.
Okay.
And shove them out the cannon portholes.
Okay, so you go and you look at these cannons are setting where they are, but not the cannon ports themselves are not open and they're not shoved out. You look at the cannon portholes themselves and they're locked in place, meaning like there's some sort of metal lever that's holding it on both sides of the flap, so it's not easy to open. And the mechanism itself looks very tight. The doors do not like wiggle at all, so it's possible that you're going to make a noise when you slide that open. Cannon porthole itself is big enough for what would be one cannon barrel to stick out.
Okay.
I'd like to spend Ray's at this point.
Sure. Yeah, we'll let Zach think on that for a minute.
Yeah. Thank you.
After she's done with the fishmonger, she goes over to a fruit seller who is complaining that all of their lemons, limes, and oranges have been basically just bought out by this ship. For what reason, they don't know, but they're not happy about it. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to make... I'm not going to call it lemonade because it's not really made with specifically lemons, but this like citrusy Greek drink with mint in it that's super refreshing. And they can't make it because all of their citrus has been bought out. so that tells us that they're prepping for a long journey because they're afraid of scurvy. And they were very quick about it. They're like, no questions. Just come on. Just give us whatever you got here. Just whatever. And I'd like to use that raise to establish the fact that they are getting ready to leave very quickly. So they arrived quickly and now they're getting ready to leave quickly.
Indeed. Okay. I like that. Let's continue with you for a minute. Who's the next person you're going to talk to?
Oh, the next person I'm going to go talk to is... Oh, let's see. Who else is on the dock side?
I mean, there's always bars. There's warehouse managers. There's probably a few doxies houses. There's, inns and taverns, clearly. I already said that. There would also be anybody who's a tradesman that would be... likely to rope some sailors who need like repair on personal gear, maybe some clothes, maybe a personal item, or you know, some way to spend their stuff. So there's always like a band of merchants and then warehouses in the main city with, you know, main stuff going on, because some sailors don't want to wait and don't want to try and get into the city. They just want to grab whatever's right there.
You know who I'm gonna go talk to? I'm gonna go talk to the Cooper.
Hey,
I'm going to go help the Cooper with his barrels.
Make it some barrels.
While I am helping them with the barrels, they inform me that the barrels that they were putting on that ship, and I'm going to spend another race, were not meant to house what is actually in those barrels.
Oh.
The barrels that they were using were meant for holding liquids.
Okay.
And what they were crating... is dry goods, specifically gunpowder.
Yeah.
Lots of it.
Lots and lots of gunpowder.
And so the barrels, which are meant for heavy things and holding liquids, are not the greatest at keeping black powder in.
Okay.
Because it's so fine and... Right. And, you know, airy. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, he also says that he overheard one of the hands complaining that they're not going to be able to get out as soon as they want to because of all the ships coming in. And he's like, you hear anything about that? Are there other ships coming in? Sounds dangerous. He seems to be asking about, like, is there a war coming as he starts to talk about ships, but there's like a heaviness in how he's asking about ships. And it's like this, foreign ships coming in. And that's never a good thing on Numa.
No, it's not. And we all know it.
Yeah.
We all know it. There's like an underlying anxiety in that. And instead of smoothing it over, I think I'm going to spend a raise, and Electo's going to tell the truth. Electo, I know that the king hasn't made a statement yet, but he has sat there and protected his people when his people are more than capable of protecting themselves. So I think she gets in close and she goes, all right, listen, I'm going to be straight with you. There are foreign ships, and I have heard word. I was at the war council. There is talk of war coming. Now, what I don't need you to do is to panic. I understand. We've dealt with this before.
I'll let you keep that raise.
Okay. But what I do need you to do is tell everyone that you trust and get ready for a fight. I know that the king has soldiers, and I know that he has done everything that he can to protect us, and he is a great king for that. But we need to prove to our king that we are Numa. We can defend our own. We're strong.
Oh, snap. Did you just use an Andreas line?
I just used an Andreas line. Yep.
All right. With that, he as soon as you are done helping him with a thing, he's like, well, I think I'm going to close out for now. And he, like, scurries off to go talk to the next person sort of a thing. And this is starting to spread already like wildfire. That's why you got to keep raise, because he's not going to cause panic. He's going to cause panic. I mean, interest and motion.
Yeah, he's not going to cause a scene like pandemonium. He's going to cause an uprising. He's going to cause a revolution.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Instead, can I then spend that raise to go to one of the other ships that I know has docked here specifically for protection? It's meant to look like a merchant ship, and it's always looking like it's waiting for cargo, but it is outfitted for an attack at harbor. It's just a secret ship that sits at port, and whenever any stupid invader is like, I'm just gonna dock right alongside and I'm gonna blow the whole dock side up, it's like, no, we thought of that already. She's going to go to that ship.
I'm going to spend a danger point to change the narrative on what that ship is.
Okay.
And I would like, as we see Electo walking up this dock, we see you leave Epos just at the bottom of the gangplank on up. And we see Electo starting to step on the gangplank, and the camera pulls away from Electo.
Oh, God.
And what do we see on the ship that points to which secret society this ship belongs to?
Oh, F. It's a bunch of old ladies.
Hmm.
Oh, yes. And with that, the scene of elderly women, well and able, like Rosie the Riveter, and then some. We're going to fade out for this scene. And we'll catch you next time.
Yes. Damn it, Lou. Because there's a war, and so who's going to be there to help the people in need? It's the grandmother's shawl.
Of course.
Oh, I am so here for some grandmas with cannons. Like, fucking let's go.
Yo, let's go.
I need some blunderbuss babushkas. Like, let's go.
Yes, blunderbuss babushkas.
Oh, nice. My gosh.
It's so funny that you said that, because I looked really quickly at my question 18. And Electo's answer is, while not an official member, Electo has been in the company of Grandmother Shaw more often than not.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
That's wonderful.
That's where we're going to wrap it up this time, friends.
I fucking love it.
I technically still have more. If you want to take it now, you can, Mark. But we didn't get to what I'm expecting to get to set it off. We took a lot of time investigating, and we're still in the middle of the investigation of the ship. So
yeah we are.
I don't want to bogart the seat. If people,
do you want to keep it, Logan? Do you want to keep it?
I don't want to overstay my welcome. I'm just saying.
Hey.
You basically live here, Logan.
Okay, cool. It's mine. Yeah, you have to come back next time. And learn about more of the stuff that's going on and the more of the factions that we bring in.
Nice.
It's a never-ending loop of chaos and shittery.
Yes. That's called role-play game. Yeah.
I want to get to an RPG reflection eventually because I want to talk about all this shit.
Is there a need now?
Break it up.
Do we want to do that now?
No.
Okay. All right.
We do it at the end.
You just got to remember all of it. The end. Just saying. You gotta remember all of these things over weeks and weeks.
That's true.
It won't happen.
Nope.
Well, Logan, thank you for running us through this story, this part of the adventure here, this long part of the adventure, and it keeps going. So we'll pick that up next time, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
I'm here. I'm in. Let's go.
And that's it for another episode. Man, I just never know where the story is going to go. Ever. I never know where it goes. And that's what I love about this round robin GM thing we got going on here. But if you enjoy it, stick around. I'm enjoying it, so I'll be here in the studio. I'll see you next time.